So I've been listening to a lot of interviews with voice actors lately.
So there are a lot of videos of like voice actors getting interviewed by other voice actors. So they're like interviewing each other. And one of the questions that comes up in them is, what's your favorite vocal warm up? And all of them have a very similar vibe because it's all some variation of yelling. It's all some variation.
Example, like, because I have my favorite musical theater warm up that I've been privy to.
Well, because a lot, there are some that are particular. They're like, some of them are like, oh, I'll sing a song that uses a lot of my range. But yeah. A lot of them are just like, you know, sometimes if I know it's going to be like a very active session and I need to be like really loud and energetic, you just go, to like open up your throat and use more of your voice. And I'm just like, is that all I need to do before we start podcasting to enunciate better? It's just to go, like I'm an echolocating bat around the house.
See, because my favorite one, it's more of a musical theater warm up, but it's going gay, 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 gay.
It's very similar to like old YouTube comment warm ups that's fake and gay, fake and gay, fake and gay.
Yeah. Gay.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I don't know. I don't know how much I know about Doctor Who. Because sometimes I feel like I know a lot. And then other times...
Because every time you learn something, you have to forget something else. You've made a barter with a demon.
Yeah.
The only thing you're allowed to hold on to is like the Doctor as a character and that Daleks are just little guys. Everything else is
like the concept of the Doctor. And at any given time, I can name three companions. That's it.
And not the same three any day there.
No, it's just it changes.
It's just names in a fishbowl.
Yep.
Well, today we are watching Series 7, Episode 13, Nightmare in Silver.
Ah, Night Van Silver.
The second of two episodes written by Neil Gaiman, who we talked about with the Doctor's wife last season. We don't need to really relitigate.
No, I mean,
our disappointment with him right now.
I think that you can just, you're a smart you understand. Person. We're you're disappointed. An adult. You can go back in time, listen to those feelings. Turns out they're kind they're of
pretty
the
much
same. The same.
Pretty much the same. It's only been a few months. But
go back and listen to The Doctor's Wife. That intro, put it, you can pause, go listen to that, come back.
So welcome back from listening to The Doctor's Wife. Glad you enjoyed it. Glad we're going to be here for another hour together. This will be a really great time.
Oh, you listened to the whole thing? I just told you to listen to the beginning.
Oh.
You have to listen to the whole thing. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we... Should have been maybe a little more specific. Should have just said, go up to the ad and you can stop.
I did. I said, just listen to the beginning.
Oh.
They didn't listen to me. Kind of like somebody else.
But Bailey, you didn't listen to her. You didn't hear every word she said.
Is the person who pays attention to me in the room with us? Hello?
Look, sometimes the words turn into new smoothie in my head. I get the formative sentence, but sometimes words disappear, and that's why I'm on medication. That's not doing a great job for me today.
Newthie.
What might you be expecting from Nightmare in Silver?
Nightmare in Silver. Well, because we just have the opening pause.
Yeah, the very like first shot,
which is paused. I'm so torn. I'm not even gonna bother saving this thought and comment.
Okay.
Are the rocks on the moon supposed to look like pieces of fabric?
Yes, actually.
Okay, good. So the moon landing is faked, according to Doctor Who.
So this is not the moon landing.
Okay.
I'll get into it a little bit when we get into the Cassie Rafasi, but just know this looks like the moon landing. It is not the moon landing.
It is supposed to look like a bunch of ratty, crusty towels.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. So Nightmare in Silver. can I ask where we are? Are we in the U.S. or are we still in the U.K.?
Where is this episode taking place?
Yeah.
This episode takes place in space.
Okay.
Yeah, like this is not what you're seeing here. This is genuinely like another world. Well,
because that does help me, because when I hear Nightmare in Silver, I think silver screen.
Okay.
And then I think big Hollywood, and mm-hmm. then I remember that Doctor Who has not done like an old timey Hollywood.
Not that, like, you've seen anyway.
Yeah, 1940s.
Like nothing wandered around the Hollywood backlot of the golden years. No, and
specifically
years.
Just because I age. Was digging through some of my cool and interesting pictures and prints, I found the one that I purchased from the Hollywood Museum of Death that is of the Black Dahlia murder scene, which I am still so shocked they can put that on a postcard you can send through the United States Postal Service. Could you imagine being the poor postal service person that's just like, oh, yippee-doo, gonna drop off this mail. Uh-oh. That's a murder. Has nothing to do with the episode. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to tell that silly little story that happened to me.
Well,
Nightmare and Silver.
Does Silver invoke any other?
Or Silver Surfer, just because we saw Fantastic Four not too long ago.
Yeah. But does Silver invoke any Doctor Who villains specifically for you?
Thank you for grounding me. That was very helpful, because I was going to keep it on with my 1940s bit. tasteless, but, you know. Doctor Who characters or antagonists?
Antagonists is probably a better... Is
this... No, because those are bronze. We haven't seen Silver Dalek.
No, we've not seen Silver Daleks.
No, but...
Do you like my new shirt?
Do you like...
Silver denotes a superior Dalek.
Do you like Chromatica? It's talking about the Lady Gaga album.
I am rocking some new kicks. They are shiny and silver.
I have found that the older I've gotten, the more into silver I am!
My cousin says I am a threat in this outfit. I am a nightmare in silver.
I read a book once that said that silver keeps away vampires.
Vampire shall not get to Dalek.
Vampire has no concept of Dalek. See, that's the thing. Whenever we're doing our Dalek impression, we forget that they draw out their own name.
Everyone thinks vampire is allergic to garlic. Turns out it's actually allergic to Dalek.
I like that. May I ask, did we have a Dalek episode this season yet or no?
Yeah, because this season opened with Asylum of the Daleks.
Okay, so we have already. Damn, I really just, I miss them.
You just want your gross little boys.
Cybermen?
Yeah, Cybermen are
Cybermen
in fact,
are silver. They're very silver. Yeah, Cybermen, in fact, they are only silver.
Cybermen are, in fact, silver, and that is the reference to Nightmare in Silver that it is making here. This is a Neil Gaiman Cyberman episode.
Okay, I thought that was the Cassie Pafasti. I thought I was going to get points for that.
No. This was just me mining away in the Cassie brain for a second.
Do we have Cybermen?
With my spoon and hammer.
Do either of us have Cybermen impressions? I don't think.
That is obvious.
Okay, well, that's just you doing Alan Rickman.
Mr. Potter. You have been absent from cyber class for 3 weeks. So now to get to the actual reason why these look so bad, why these rocks do not look, in fact, anything at all like rocks, despite the budget of Doctor Who. This episode is largely set in an intergalactic Disney-esque theme park.
Jeez. Oh my God, wait, Futurama crossover, is this?
It does, I was about to say, it feels like we're whalers on the moon, we carry a harpoon, but there ain't no whales.
And so we tell tall tales.
And sing a whaling tune. It specifically takes place at Hedwig's World of Wonders, is what it's called.
Hedwig's World of Wonders!
And Hedwig's World of Wonders in this episode is under attack, as we have discussed, by Cybermen.
Okay.
So our heroes must fortify themselves inside one of the attractions. Which attraction do you think they fortify themselves in, Cassie?
Yay!
I thought you would have fun with this one.
Do I get anything or do I just have
I have told you that is to give you it's a Disney-esque theme park with like separate lands.
So if I say dark ride roller coaster
I would give you if you guess the category correctly, I would get it for you. And there's probably two categories this would fit in and I would count it.
At least
that I can think of.
Dark ride is the most obvious. That is obvious. I just really like the idea of them being hiding in like a love boat, like like specifically a boat ride. I think would be
stuck listening to It's a Small World for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Could you imagine hiding in Pirates of the Caribbean? Like that would be so easy.
Yeah, I guess I could see it. But also you being chased in Pirates of the Caribbean would not be fun.
Did you know, fun fact, there is a system in place that if something in Pirates of the Caribbean actually catches on fire, all of the fake fire immediately shuts off so the firefighters can locate the actual fire.
Wow.
And not get behooved by fake fire.
They fight the Cybermen, so all the animatronics shut off. They just point to the Cybermen.
Ew. Gross.
All Disney animatronics are rats, and they will point out.
They're literally.
One of them is a giant mouse. Yes.
Literally. A giant rat.
So where
my other favorite thing, not to completely get derailed, mm-hmm. but that Disney houses a large colony of cats to keep down the rodent population.
I've got terrible news for them. It's not working. One shows up on stage like every given hour.
I just like the irony. So I think it's a dark ride. If I can get bonus points, I think it's a boat ride because I think that is way more interesting.
Okay, so you think they're hiding up in a boat ride?
Like, dark ride. Could you imagine trying to hide in like Navi River Adventure?
Oh my God! Well, the unfortunate thing is the Cybermen would never work in there because as soon as they walk in, they'd break down.
All of the other animatronics.
All the Cybermen had to be replaced with projections.
Angry. Except for the one that's like super articulate. But if they go down, then you just get a screen. Could you imagine riding that whole ride to get to the end where you get to look at this $1 million animatronic only to be met by B-mode screen? I would fucking start throwing fists. Dark ride boat. Okay, dark ride boat's my answer.
All right. All right, then. So they are holed up inside of a boat dark ride. I will give you a bonus point if it's a boat. And this is our first question from Patreon. I reworded it slightly just to make
it. Who contributed?
This is from Patreon user Big Daddy Dalek patron and fan art submitter Travis Aiken.
Yay! Unless it's a bad question, then boom.
I reworded it slightly just because I was trying to get. I wanted to get more to what I think he was trying to ask you.
You can say the heart of the question belongs to Travis.
Yeah, the heart of the question belongs to him. I only changed a few words here. In this episode, the Doctor must play a game of chess.
Oh, man.
Against one of the smartest beings in the universe, whom we have already met.
No! Travis, why?
Who do you think it might be?
Fuck off. You can ask me to remember things.
He did give some multiple choice options if you would like them or if you just want to really throw your line out.
Well,
there.
Because in my heart, I'm like, I want it to be the face of Bo. I don't think it is. I think we're done with the face of Bo. We're not.
How could he play chess? He's just a face. He's got no hands.
He can say knight to A4.
Knight to A4. You are knight A4. That's what Giannis stood for.
Okay, yeah, but here's my thing, though, is I'm just imagining the face of Bo instead of Ron Weasley.
Once I make my move, then you're free to check the king.
And the queen will take me.
Once I make my move, the queen will take me.
Yeah, there you go. because we all know.
Do
my...
Do you want to stop Snape from getting that stone or not?
Not me. Not Hermione. You
are not alone.
Jesus. Okay, well, we all know that my knowledge of Doctor Who is not good. So I would like the multiple choice options. So
these are the three options that he has given you.
Okay.
They are A, the Master.
Okay.
B, the Great Intelligence, who has already shown up twice this season.
Okay.
Or C, himself.
Oh, spicy.
Is this the Great Intelligence? Does the Master come back from the dead, or is this a Jerry's game?
Good reference with that. You know what, Zach? I'm going to give you one of these.
Turns out the name of the doctor is Jerry.
Turns out the name of the doctor is Q-bert. Q-bert's game. Ooh, fuck. Okay. So it would be a wild pull to have the Master show up. But we are in the end game.
Yeah.
Right? Because you said two more episodes of this doctor.
Two more episodes of this season.
Of this season.
Yeah. Because he still shows up for a little. There's two more specials after this that he's also in.
But irrespective, this is the end game of this season.
Yes. Yeah, this is the penultimate episode of the season.
I'm dancing between himself and the Great Intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Can you please remind me what happened to the Great Intelligence the last we saw them?
So the last we saw him...
Because that was Snowman, yeah?
So yes, he was the Intelligence and the Snowman. He was voiced by Ian McKellen, and then he possessed Richard Grant. We last saw Richard E. Grant in The Bells of St. John. He was the one who was behind the scenes absorbing people into the internet.
Yes.
Yes, he was the face on the screen that was just Richard E. Grant and then turned that one woman back into an infant. And
what? I have no memory of that.
Where are my mummy and daddy?
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
Yeah, he was the face on the computer screen, and he just sort of left after that, so we haven't seen him since.
Okay, so we have not seen him since. So there is a non-zero chance that it could be. Recurring baddie in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, but then... Writing a scene specifically with the intention of Matt Smith playing chess against Matt Smith.
Which one do you want to see happen?
That one. Yes, both. Well, because I am like, damn, it is kind of strange that they didn't actually give the Great Intelligence any kind of ending.
Yeah, they just let him taper off.
Because it's a 50-50.
If you've crossed out the Master, then yeah, it's 50-50.
I have crossed out the Master.
Okay.
Because if it is the Master, I'll just go, ah.
Because last we saw him, he just fucking died.
As far as we know. But that's also the thing, is that there has been no indication anywhere else.
Yeah.
That, and there is a small chance that it could be the Great Intelligence.
Yeah. That would at least make sense, given the that he's had a couple appearances this season already.
Mm-hmm. But it sure would be silly to watch Matt Smith do play a chess with himself. Game. Care to do an impression just for my own satisfaction?
I can't. There's no lines in Jerry's game. It's just him going. Okay. So I guess if I'm doing it as Matt Smith, just.
Okay. Well. Yeah. Flappy hands. Damn, those hands sure are flappy. I'm going to say Great Intelligence. Final answer.
All right. So you think he's playing a chess game against the Great Intelligence?
I want it to be.
Well, you've gone against yourself before.
I know, but it's one of those things, too, where I'm like, I want it to be the doctor. I think that it is Great Intelligence. I would like it to be the doctor. If it is, I will be pleasantly surprised.
All right. Well, we will find out together, then, if the heroes have to fortify themselves inside a boat dark ride.
Mm-hmm.
Dark ride specifically, boat for a bonus point. And
a boatness point.
And... if the doctor has to play a game of chess against the Great Intelligence, and we will find out together as we watch Nightmare in Silver.
Nightmare in Silver!
Three plus five equals eight. That's an ad. And we are back from Nightmare in Silver.
Hey, Zach.
Uh-huh.
Have I ever told you about the child catcher?
What?
you know, the child catcher.
And this is not at all how I thought you were going to open this segment up. What are you talking about?
So there's a character in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite Dick Van Dyke movie.
Mm-hmm. One of them, sure.
No.
Definitely the first role you think of when you think of Dick Van Dyke.
He's not the child catcher. He plays Caractacus Potts. but in it, without going into too much detail, they find themselves in Bulgaria.
Okay.
In a town where there is no children because the king and queen find them icky. So they have a child catcher that goes around and kidnaps all of the children and puts them in a dungeon under the castle. Why I bring it up is because aesthetically, think if Alan Rickman was like a Halloween decoration witch.
Okay.
And he just goes, children.
Children.
Children, I have cotton candy.
Children, lollipops. I have cotton candy.
Ice cream.
Lollipops. Ice cream.
Zach, there's one person I know for a fact who knows that I'm doing a very good child catcher impression.
Oh, I'm sure you are. You just had to picture Alan Rickman doing this, and so I'm picturing.
Well, yeah, but now you're stepping on my bit. but anyways, at the very beginning, I wrote down that Impresario Wembley was was giving child catcher energy, just in his like, oh, welcome, friends. And you say you made the joke of it's Billy Wonka. No, 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 that motherfucker was a child catcher. I was right the entire time.
I was referring to when he had like his like top hat, but there's like a hole in it, and he's got like his derpy little vest and coat.
Oh, aesthetically, they matched all of his costume to the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka, because it was the like floral printed vest, it was the brown tie, it was the brown hat. It was as if you put his costume in sepia tone.
Yeah,
but. That was absolutely the vibe they were going for. I don't think they knew that I was going to clock and say that guy's a child catcher.
Yeah, the child catcher, not Wimby Wamba, as they ended up actually getting.
Ice cream. but anyways, yeah, I know that the question was supposed to be, what did you think? And my thought was, this is a fucking wild ride, mate. I don't know what you want. I can't sit here and say I hated it, because I kind of really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's compared to The Doctor's Wife, it's a letdown. Like, knowing that was the last episode he wrote.
Yes, but this one this one felt very Gaiman.
Yeah.
Just in the sense that, like,
a lot of, like, the details of him
are there. It was the names, yeah, specifically, that I went.
Impresario Wembley.
Impresario Wembley, Porridge, I was Ludinus Nimrod, Kendrick Cord, Longstaff, the 41st.
Yeah.
And the Natty Longshoe Comical Castle. Are you fucking kidding me? Natty Longshoe? I mean, that I like the word natty a lot, because it just makes me think of that one makes me think it makes me think of the big natties.
Yeah. big sloppy natties.
What was the one, hold on, Big Natty Gandalf, that our small
Withers
friend
Big Naturals mod for Baldur's Gate 3,
yeah, that our ironically named friend loves the big natty.
Your friend who is like 5 foot nothing, maybe even shorter.
Hey,
she's not listening to this podcast. She's fine.
She might
watch this be the one episode she does tune into, and we just get like an angry call.
She fucking might, mate. I've been getting mad at everybody for being like, oh yeah, I was gonna listen to it. Fucking listen.
I sometimes wonder if the way Neil chose to name characters was he just had some of those like fridge magnet words, and he just like threw them at the fridge, and wherever they landed, that would be a name. Like
on the floor, though, not none of the ones on the fridge, only the ones on the floor.
Natty Longshoe, perfect.
It's names that are needlessly long and stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid in a way that makes reminds me of that line from, I think it's Infinity War, where someone says that name is made up, and he goes, all names are made up. That's what it feels like. It's just a reminder that all names are made up.
Yep.
And so sometimes they just land in a way. I mostly really enjoy this episode. I have a few like I guess, hang-ups, for lack of a better word. But for the most part, I enjoy it. There's a lot of like goofy elements to it. For some of the parts that feel weird are things that. So when the episode came out, Neil Gaiman says that he was really happy with the script that he wrote. But when it got when it went into production, it didn't turn out the way he had foreseen it. And like when he was writing it. So he basically said that from then on, he would only ever have creative control over the things that he writes, which is why he was a showrunner on Sandman when that came out. I don't know what exactly it was that he didn't like about it. I'm assuming that it's like I assume that he pictured like the theme park being a more vibrant setting than it is, because it's this rundown theme park. It's kind of washed out and mellow to look at. And that doesn't feel like the vibe he probably wanted.
Well, because a lot of things that are very prominent in his writing is the like richness of the worlds and establishing culture and vibe and just, you know, the feelings that you get walking into a place that is seemingly alien or strange or unusual. Like that is, it's something that they did very well in Coraline, actually, is just really making you see the stark differences between Coraline's like life and then her other life.
Yeah.
And it's something that, Laika did a wonderful job at still capturing that essence, which is why I think when you think a Neil Gaiman story, that's one of the first things that comes up. And same with like Stardust. That's enough. You haven't seen Stardust.
I know, but I believe you. I'm agreeing with you. I believe you are.
But
correct.
It's something too, where when you are in these worlds, or when you are watching these worlds that have been translated from text into a visual medium, you can just tell there is a quality about them that feels very familiar to people that read a lot of Neil Gaiman stuff. This hit the mark in the sense that like I said, the names were very indicative.
Yeah.
But the world and the saturation of that world, because it is a 45 minute television series and not an hour and a half movie.
Yeah.
You can't sit in the world a little bit. You can't have those moments where you're really being engulfed in.
Yeah. And I like I said, the main things I'm not sure about is I assume that he wanted like a richer texture to the world than what it is. Cause they really made it feel like it's run down. So you almost forget.
Even if it was run down, it's the fact that the story just has to bulldoze and trudge along.
It just has to keep moving, and it needs to pick up the pace on it. It needs to pace itself out this way for it to keep going. So you almost forget you're in a theme park a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like very little of it actually comes up, which is a little disappointing.
It's the fact that we're in a silly little castle, but it's like, okay, we could be in a silly little castle in Wales.
Yeah, exactly.
We could be in a silly little castle anywhere else.
Yeah, I'd specific. So to go to the prophecy real quick,
fuck off.
I specifically mentioned both it was Disney-esque.
Both of you, fuck right off. Boat Ride would have been so much more interesting. That's I still stand by. I am upset that I didn't get the second question right. But watching Matt play chess against himself and see him writhe around on the ground. No reason. I thought that was very interesting, a good move on his part. But
yeah, when he was he's playing alternates of the Doctor and quote Mr. Clever is his name.
Jesus Christ.
Which that's
me celebrating how talented Neil Gaiman is at coming up with names and then pivot to Mr. Clever.
Yeah, well, because that's one of the things, like some of the like the hangups I have with it are stuff that he definitively put in the script.
Yes.
Like he definitely wrote Mr. Clever. And I think Mr. Clever is not a bad name in the sense that it's like,
are you hung up on the name?
Yeah. Like him going, I want to go by Mr. Clever. And I'm like, you're a Cyberman. Why do you want a name? Like, why do you want to go by anything? You're a Cyberman.
Like, that could be something that's very cheeky, where it's like, it's Mr. Clever, but it's in.
Yeah.
What's that one? Binary code.
Yeah. I guess, or I could see it being if it wasn't a Cyberman, if it was just like some kind of alien parasite, if it was the Doctor's venom that popped in.
Oh my God. a symbiote and the doctor. Oh my god.
Yeah, like if it was like you know Venom for the doctor.
Hold on. Now I'm stuck on that. When will we have an episode where the doctor gets a symbiote attached to him?
Whenever Disney finally buys.
When
Disney fully buys Doctor Who and they merge it with the Marvel Comics universe.
Ooh.
And it becomes the MC Who.
Ooh. I don't want it, but if I get it, I won't be angry unless it's really bad.
But yeah, so like that's one. It's when it's a Cyberman feels like a weird choice to do that, especially because in the episode he keeps railing against how emotions are like such a weakness.
Doctor, your emotions.
Yeah, he keeps bringing that up, and I'm like, you're the one who bragged about how smart you are. And how, like, I'm so smart and clever. In fact, I'm going to go by Mr. Clever. Like, those are all not just emotional. They're childish in a way that doesn't feel appropriate to the Cyberman. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of things about this episode that felt inappropriate for the Cyberman. For instance, Honey. Honey, when she stepped out, snatched.
Having just recently hit the Robo Ozempic.
Oh my god.
They're all svelte and slim now, and they're in first pose ready for ballet class.
Their little like walking pattern, I appreciate however many people they had in the suits all did kind of have their walking rhythm like in sync. They were not in line, which tells me that none of them were in band or the army. But
yeah.
Oh, and another thing, I hated it. I loved it. I hated it. These terrible little house centipede cybermats.
Oh, the cybermites?
Ugh! It reminded me of the ending of Nightmare Before Christmas when Oogie Boogie gets his clothing taken off.
His clothing? When his skin peels off.
Yeah, and he's my bugs. My books.
Yeah, they are very much.
That's what those are, especially when they're skinny. Are they now?
I'm pretty sure they're always CG.
Okay, but they looked stop motion.
Yeah,
there's definitely a couple
shots where they look like.
And I wonder if that's just they were rendered at maybe like
a janky frame rate, or
yeah.
Or I wonder if it's because they're CG that's trailing over real things. There's just some element of like,
which I'm still like, hey, that's fine. Yeah. They look real for a second.
Yeah, this I actually kind of like the cyber mites. I mean, I'm definitely I like the cyber mats more. There's something about them like being
so big.
Yeah, they being like the size of a hoagie. That's just really. Really appealing as opposed to the cybermites that's just like
house centipedes. You've seen those, right?
Get them on my skin.
You've seen a house centipede.
I've seen a house centipede. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, I mean,
horrible. I didn't like that when the doctor was holding a physical one. It was just a rubber toy, so it didn't move. He kind of like flicked it a couple times to make it like wobble and do things that a rubber toy would do. Mm-hmm. But I was like, come on, mates. Make it attach like a little string to it or something.
Yeah.
Like make it move around.
And then the other thing.
What are those ones I'm thinking of? They're like the worms with googly eyes that just kind of like.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I cannot think of what they're called either. But they're like the fuzzy things with the snakes.
Yeah. And you can move your fingers around and they move with you.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember what they're called either.
Well, that's what I would have. Could you imagine? Could you imagine the next iteration of Cybernets?
A little cyber wiggler.
Yes. The little cyber fuzzy worm.
And then the real hang up I have with the episode in terms of all the things, even more so than Mr. Clever, is the like upgrade thing that the Cybermen do, where like anytime they get hit with something and don't immediately die, they go upgrade in progress. And they like
are smarter than this.
And they immediately become like immune to whatever you just hit them with. And I'm like, you've made them too strong. Like you've made it seem ridiculous that they haven't immediately taken over the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they adapt to anything except fully exploding.
Yeah, except for getting beamed in the chest by one of those super strong flashlights, but in red. You know the ones.
Yeah, beamed in the chest with a giant flashlight, or alternatively sucked into a black hole that destroys a galaxy. Like, those are the two options you have. You've made them too strong. Like, why did they ever lose against a Dalek ever?
And also,
is that why they got so strong? Because they're still bitter about the fight with the Dalek.
They're so petty. They're so petty. They tried taking a bath with a toaster.
they're
too strong for bathtub
toaster.
Just remember,
Daleks have no concept of elegance.
That is obvious.
And they decided we must become even more elegant. Take the robot Wegovy. Injected, we shall become slimmer. Everyone take dance class.
Everyone get so strong. So snatched, according to that one girl.
I would like to be snatched, sculpted, and toit.
Nice.
Must have the peach ready by summer. Fucking these are Gen Z Cybermen.
I have never heard that phrase in my whole life.
You ever heard people refer to their butt as a peach?
No. Like,
you've seen the peach emoji, but.
Yeah. Well, no, I have a patch that specifically says my ass is mine, but I can share. It has a little peach. So I know that I haven't heard anybody refer to their own bits as peach.
Yeah, I've definitely seen it around on the internet.
Zach, I need you to remember, I'm Grandma Cassie.
I'm also old. I've just seen the kids do it.
I am Grandma Cassie. I literally have a friend now whose mission is to make sure that I know what's hip in music. And guess what? She is 2 years younger than
me. I like
me.
How you have two equal and opposite friends. One that's trying to make sure that you're like up to the minute on music, and then me, who's trying to show you Doctor Who.
Yeah, it's, or if you want to go based off of two friends, one who is actively telling me, yeah, it's really good to just not consume so much social media. You need to put away your phone. You just need to deep cleanse, get rid of everything in your life that doesn't matter. And then another friend that's saying, so here's what you have to know about the My Chemical Romance concert.
That's very good. I like that.
Oh, the Cybermen now being able to just take their parts off.
Yeah, just take their head off, their hand off.
Okay, thing.
I think the head was, and then at one point the head just does a full 180 spin.
Like an owl, yeah.
Like he's fucking Chucky. Like, turning around, gotcha, bitch!
I hate that.
It's like, how do you...
Like, these Cybermen are too strong.
Right, I was just like, where do you...
Maybe that's why Neil was angry. Maybe he didn't write them so strong.
I mean, he must have, because the whole point of the episode is that you have to blow up the planet to get rid of them. It just makes it seem ridiculous that they haven't taken over the universe.
It's the fact that they can still control their body parts.
Yeah.
Remotely.
Yeah.
They adapt to whatever circumstance you put them in. So I know we did the bit not too long ago, but it does sound a little bit like, and then the Cybermen now, no, water, electricity can't destroy them, because anytime that they're put in the direction of a thing that they don't know, they get stronger, they learn from it.
This is, at the beginning of the episode, they had made a point that the Cybermen needed children. They wanted the wild imagination of children to, like, open up their minds. I think what they really wanted was the magic of children to go, nuh-uh. No, yeah. No, you're not doing it right. And no, you can't do that. They're immune to electricity.
No, I can put my hand back on and have it work. I can do that.
No, you didn't actually zap the back of his head. His head was just sitting there. He's actually walking around without a head right now. He doesn't need that.
No, you didn't shoot the middle of his chest. You shot the side of his chest.
And now that means he's immune to the gun, too.
Yeah, that.
it's so like... extreme, to the point where it's like, where do you go from here? Like, what do you do? And the sad thing is, I know what they do. And even I still am just like, I can't fathom, like, where you explore from here when they could just adapt to anything.
Yeah.
You've accidentally made them impossible to use.
Yeah.
They're the real impossible girls.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Impossible Girl.
You mean short, bossy, and your nose is all funny?
Yeah, you're too short, bossy, and your nose is funny. Yeah, when he asked you, you're going to come into the house one day and ask, do you think I'm pretty? I'll be like, no, you're too short and bossy, and your nose is all funny. And you're going to have forgotten this scene ever happened. You'll just get very angry at me.
Yep, because I wrote that down saying, oh, this reminds me of something that Zach would say to me.
To be
both endearing and insulting.
But it's speaking about the doctor here, I think this is the central focal point of the episode. The rest of it is all just sort of an excuse to let this beat, this long drawn out beats happen.
Oh, because we have not even touched on some of the other, because something though that I will say is a positive about this episode, mm-hmm. very character driven.
Yeah.
Looks to Emperor Porridge.
Yeah, Emperor Porridge. And what's fun about the episode is when you learn that twist that he's the emperor, when you go back and watch it, it's really obvious that that's the case. Not necessarily in like the, oh, they were saying it right in front of you all along, but you can tell that especially, I believe her name is Abby, the original sure. like guard in charge. She is she's furious at him. And she's saying things like, you ran away. And of course,
Abby or Alice?
Yeah, Alice. She there are times throughout the episode where she like is when Angie first comes in and saying Porridge, the little guy, there's a look in Alice's eyes where she's like, tell me about this little guy. And when she's talking to Porridge later, she's very clearly upset at him, saying that he ran away, saying she knows who he is because she was on the Imperial Guard during parades. So she recognizes him even in a way that other people wouldn't, because other people have only seen him from a distance, as evidenced by the fact that when they make wax sculptures of him, he's like twice as tall as he actually is.
Oh, he's like three times taller.
Yeah. I think it's a really fun twist, and it's one that when you go back, you can you pick up on the beats that other characters are playing into it, especially Alice.
Because what was the, I know his name was Artie. What was her, Angie?
Yeah, Angie, Artie, and Al. There's a lot of A names in this episode.
Yeah. But Angie specifically, when she gets the Imperial Penny,
mm-hmm.
is looking at it, looking at the wax sculpture, looking at him, looking back at it.
Yeah, I
was like, wow, what a stretched out moment.
Yeah, it's a good little through line. It's a well done twist, because it doesn't like undermine any part of the story. It just sort of like it was a twist to help tie the story up as opposed to create a big dramatic moment. Speaking of dramatic moments, though, this episode, I think we can both agree, was built entirely around Matt Smith acting against himself.
Oh, my God.
Neil Gaiman at one point said that he wrote this episode specifically because he wanted to win Matt Smith a BAFTA for playing the Doctor. And this was the episode he came up with. I don't know that he succeeded with that, because just something about the way it came out, it's very weird. A lot of the dialogue is very weird for him, or monologue, I guess, because he's only talking to himself.
He's talking to himself, but he's not. It's not the mutterings of the Doctor talking to himself. He is technically talking to the cyber planner.
Yeah, talking to Mr. Clever, the cyber planner. One thing they do that I really enjoy is his later on in the episode where they're sitting, where he's like tied to the chair. And they let him like dip in and out of which character he's playing at the time. So he'll start as the Doctor, and then suddenly he'll go very like sinister, and you get the impression he's Mr. Clever, and then he'll get slapped across the face, and suddenly he's the Doctor again. And they keep like playing with the way that feels.
Mm-hmm.
I quite enjoyed that, especially when the cyber planner fucks with Clara a little bit. And he's like, I guess I'm the only one who knows how I really feel about you. I just, you're very funny and very pretty and me, 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 boom. And then Clara just slaps him across the face. She's like, I know that wasn't you, because it's not true. And even if it is true, you would rather die than say it. I don't know if that was Gaiman or Moffat, but it feels like either of them. Yeah, Matt Smith did get nominated for a BAFTA for Doctor Who, but he never, as far as I'm aware, he didn't.
Remind me what a BAFTA is.
A BAFTA is sort of the Oscars and Emmys of the UK. It's the British Academy of Film and Television.
Okay.
He's really having a fun time here. If you told me that this episode was the reason he left Doctor Who, I'd believe you. If he's like, oh, can I just go play bad guys forever from now on?
Can I go be in Morbius?
I will go be in Morbius if I can play the bad guy. I will go be in a terrible Terminator movie if I could be a bad guy. I will go be in House of the Dragon where I get to be the worst guy.
What's that new movie coming up where he's in so much makeup?
I was literally just thinking about it earlier and I've somehow forgotten it.
I don't think he's bad. Caught Stealing?
Yeah, Caught Stealing is the movie where he's got the giant mohawk.
Yeah.
Where he is just like,
like, I don't think he's bad in that, but
he heard that Superman was talking about punk rock and he went, note taken, got it, gonna go be punk rock now.
Yeah, I don't know if he's bad in that one, but he went, oh, I can be different people? I don't have to be a flappy hands madman?
Yeah, he decided that when I think about it, as far as I'm aware, he has only played bad guys ever since he's left Doctor Who. I don't know that he's played any like other heroes since being the Doctor, which is a really interesting choice. Like, I don't know if he was just like, I enjoy playing Mr. Clever so much, I would like to do this forever.
Well, because we've seen other moments where he is sinister.
Yes, there's definitely been like darker moments for his characters, but this is I was just thinking about how I can't think of anything he's done since leaving the Doctor Who. I guess maybe, well, no, even then he was playing the aristocracy. I was gonna say he was in The Crown, but he was playing Prince Philip. I find the fun in the episode to be almost entirely around that chess match.
Yeah.
And it's partly just because it just lets Matt Smith do what he does best, which is just be kind of a scrambly man.
Mm-hmm.
He's
six possums in a purple trench coat.
One thing, at one point he says, like, either I lose the game and he takes over my mind, or I win the game and he goes back on his promises and it gets my mind anyway. There's a few moments like that where he'll like undermine what he's saying mid-sentence.
I did like him marching into the castle and just going, and why hasn't anybody tied me up already?
Yeah, so
like an absurdism urgency as he's walking through with a little piece with a golden ticket just stuck onto his face.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't cleaner that would stop the Cybermen. It was gold.
Yeah. I'm glad I showed you that episode with Adric, because you saw him like shove the gold star into his like respiratory system. Now it makes so much more sense that he do it. Now you've seen it and he slaps a gold ticket on his face, presumably in honor of Adric.
Presumably. I mean, that fool just blew up.
I do like that this man is dressed like Willy Wonka and he comes in with a golden ticket.
Yeah.
They go on the world's worst chocolate factory tour. There's no chocolate. The factory makes Cybermen.
Well, Artie specifically says this is the most fun he's ever had in his whole life. He was floating like maybe 6 feet off the ground.
Yeah, he was just kind of he was effectively on a very long trampoline.
That or like he was on a horseless carousel. Like that's the amount of up and down he did.
You have to remember, Cassie, they're in the UK where they don't have any Disneylands.
Oh, that's
They only have gray skies and porridge. So for him, this is a huge upgrade.
They have wonderful actor porridge. Who is that? Because I feel like I recognize him from...
I feel like I recognize him for something, too, now that you mention it.
Well, because I'm like,
Oh, that's really embarrassing.
Is it Warwick Davis?
It's absolutely Warwick Davis.
That's why, because I was like, he's just so handsome in the way that I just, like...
I think it's something... I'm so used to seeing him with the willow hair that when he's got the, like, cap on and it just kind of smooths his head over.
Well, because also in this, I was like, that can't be Warwick. Like, this is a young man. Also forgetting that Willow, he did literally when he was like 18.
Yeah, I mean,
like, he was very young when he did Willow.
I mean, not even now, he's only 55. He's...
Oh my God, he's not...
Yeah, so in that episode, he would have been in his mid-40s.
Not me, just over here going, hi, I'm... My name is Cassie Schumer, and I have a crush on Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis!
Hello. He's so charming.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Stop. He's so charming.
It's just weird to have a second podcast episode I'm on that has Warwick Davis on it. Because the last episode I did of Escape from Vault Disney was the Taylor Swift. It was the episode on Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour. And one of the guys on that episode just starts doing a Warwick Davis impersonation for like 10 minutes for no reason.
Is this you gentle plugging Escape from Walt Disney?
I don't have to plug it. It's way more popular than our podcast is.
Hey, you know what?
If anything, it plugs us.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking about Warwick some more.
Is it specifically when he like turns around and proposes to Clara and he's like, would you like to be the queen? Would you like to be my empress and you'll rule 1,000 galaxies?
You don't have to be lonely. No. Marry me.
What a man thing to do.
The way that I absolutely would be like, let me think about it.
Let's see. It's a lot of responsibility to be an empress, but it's Warwick Davis.
But it's movie star Warwick Davis.
Star of film and television.
Ooh. He keeps talking about how horrible it is to be emperor, and now he wants me to be empress. We can be miserable together.
God, 1,000 galaxies. That's a lot of planets to have sex on.
Do you want to know what I was thinking? I was like, 1,000 planets. That's so much food. Possibilities are
endless.
There's
got to be a galaxy out there where they got butts for boobs, right?
There's got to be a galaxy out there where they even invented new ice cream. What kind of cereals do you think they have?
Somebody out there makes snozzberries. I've already seen Willy Wonka, and now I want a snozzberry.
You know what I think about sometimes?
What's that?
Is the way that Grandpa Joe is licking the wallpaper. That man fucks.
And he's got his little cocaine pinky nail, too.
That man fucks. I'm bringing this conversation back around to Willy Wonka, bitch.
And I really like that it ends on this little beat of the doctor tricking Mr. Clever into shutting down the Cybermen outside by using it as extra processing power. He's like, I'm going to mate in 3 moves. I'm going to win. You're not going to figure out what I'm going to do. He's like, what's the matter? You have enough processing power? And he pulls out all the Cybermen.
It's childish. Like, there's an element about this episode where everybody is behaving a little childishly.
It's just very funny to me that that's the thing that requires him to, like, shut down 3 million Cybermen is to, like, make a chess bot. We have unbeatable chess bots already. You can do them in one computer. And for some reason, he's like, I can't do this. I need 3 million computers to figure this out. And he's like, and the doctor's like, that's cheating. And he's like, no, I'm just pulling in the local resources. But I picture the doctor being like, oh, no, you shut down all your Cybermen to get my chest problem. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Anyway, my moves are grab my screwdriver, turn on thing that kills you and then kill you with it.
Again, it's very. So what I'm going to do. No, shh. Let me finish. Let me do this. So I'm going to upgrade the punchy thingy. And I'm going to slap my own face with it. It's very D&D in a way. That's like, if you roll a nat 20, I'll let you have that. I'll let that happen. And then they rolled a nat 20. And God has to go. I said what I said.
Well, all right. Yeah, so he slaps himself in the face with it. And then the Cybermen, being very emotional, might I add, goes, that's cheating.
Yep.
And that's his final line before he blasts off of his face. And the doctor gets all like, no, just using all the local resources. Aren't I clever? I should call me Dr. Clever.
That last giggle was you fixing your bow tie, huh?
It was.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, sort of a weird episode. It's a bit of a mixed bag, I guess I would call it.
Well, because there's also the part of, like, I know that the military presence are not military. It's effectively, this planet is Australia. These are people who did not obey the rules, and by our intents and purposes.
Yeah, they're a punishment platoon, as they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sent off because they didn't follow orders.
Which also, I do like the cast of characters that they chose for this.
Mm-hmm.
You have scary blonde lady. You have tall glasses ginger boy.
Yeah, you got skinny tall nerd, and you got short fat shooter.
Yeah,
yeah, they're very like It's a very like animated kind of pairing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's a lot of good beats in it. Yeah. I'm curious to know what exactly. I mean, I don't want to ask him now, but I'm curious to know what in his mind it looked like.
We can pretend. Well,
he was so upset over.
We can pretend.
Because honestly, I can't. The only things I could picture being like really fixed were things that he wrote, and therefore, like, I can't get around those unless someone maybe like really edited the script down. Maybe that's something that happened.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see it happening where they had an editor trim out a lot of the quote unquote fat.
Yeah.
But that fat is exactly what.
Yeah, there was like a flavor to the episode that's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely understand that.
It's like having Chinese food without MSG, you know? Like, the idea is still there, but it's like not half as good.
It feels inauthentic, yeah.
It's just missing the flavor.
Yeah, I also don't know that Cybermen were a good choice for this story.
What would you have put in instead then?
I would have just done like a new creature, maybe some kind of parasite.
I mean, they kind of did that with the Cybernats.
Yeah, well, that's exactly like if the Cybermites had been some kind of like just like a hive mind parasite creature.
Well, even if they had made it Cybermen adjacent, but it was just, oh, these Cybermites are what's left over after the Cybermen were wiped out. Yeah. And so now they're trying to like reverse engineer.
Yeah,
because like if it had been an isolated thing where it's like, whoa, okay, cool, this is something that we recognize. We know Cybermats through Cybermen, but we don't know them isolated from Cybermen.
Yeah, it's a very I just don't know what exactly I would fix.
Without making an entirely new alien species.
Yeah,
I think that because that was kind of the crux of this, and that was the like. Fully, the angle, I suppose, of Cybermen that we haven't seen is the.
I mean, actually,
is the steampunk face editions.
Yeah, that actually probably would have been a much more interesting way of doing it. Is just having it be instead of it having like, oh, there's secretly 3 million Cybermen under the surface of this theme park.
Yeah, there is a colony of Cybermats.
Yeah,
are like in the process of rebuilding Cybermen.
Yeah, like they don't have the technology, they don't have the parts.
They don't have needed. The opposable thumbs.
Yeah, they don't have the parts to build Cybermen, so the closest they can get are these half-form monstrosities with the idea that they with these hands will be able to build Cybermen.
Yeah.
But right.
Like that would be really cool.
Yeah, and that's why they're a little more emotional, a little weirder.
Is because they are like 80% human as opposed to
exactly, especially for a doctor, because Mr. Clever, quote unquote, is really, really goofy and silly.
He's just very volatile.
Yeah. And I would have been kind of interesting to see, like, you know, the Cybermats in that case would probably be more desperate and they'd probably cut corners just trying to get stuff done.
Yeah,
because they're squishable. You can step on them and they'll be dead as a stone.
It's as dead as a stone. I miss him.
We're going to go back to some 70s stuff soon, I promise.
I miss him, Zach.
maybe not Jamie right away, but we'll definitely go back and see. Because we got to do a first Doctor story pretty soon. So we're going to go all the way back. Yeah, we're getting close to the end of the season. We're getting right up on the end of the season, though. This is the penultimate episode, so next up. We get to find out what's up with Clara, why she's the impossible girl.
The impossible girl.
Wrapped up in a skirt that's a little too tight, which is a weird thing to say because she was wearing a dress.
Yeah, she was wearing literally a fit and flare dress. So I don't know what skirt you're thinking about.
Yeah, it's
we have never seen her wear a pencil skirt.
That's another weird one where it's just like it felt like they were trying to, in case Matt sticks around, let's have him do like a romance with Clara. And then Matt didn't stick around. I really, really feel strongly that Moffat was thinking, if I partner him up with a really pretty girl that he has really great chemistry with, and they get to smooch a little bit, maybe Matt won't leave the job. Maybe I'll get to keep him as my doctor for another season. And it didn't work. But I can understand the thinking. I don't know that I agree with it, but I definitely understand, like, I need to tempt my man to stay. Bring him a pretty girl.
Bring him Jenna Louise.
We tried the leggy redhead. Bring in the pixie this time.
Bring in the short, bossy girl with the nose that does the funny little thing. I did, like, there was a shot where they are looking at each other and it's just a profile of both. And I went, oh, my God, she really, like, she does have the absolute opposite facial, like, build than Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Like, she could not be more the opposite.
Yeah, everything in Matt Smith is, like, really stretched and long. In a way that works for him. I don't want to imply that it's
No, but it's not like, ugh.
Yeah, he calls him, even Clara at one point calls him Chin Boy. He's got a big chin. He's got kind of a long nose. And then Clara's, like, as, like, compact as can be, a cute little upturned nose.
Yeah, everything. She's lifted.
Yeah. it's funny you keep referring to him as Peter Pan. It feels like Clara's his Tinkerbell.
Oh, my God. Short and bossy.
Well, we'll find out what's up with Clara.
What's up with Tinkerbell?
On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Wait, hold on. Let me just... That sounded like Who Is My Doctor, yeah?
Who is indeed?
Isolate. One bell. There we go!
Thank you all for listening to another episode. I hope you all enjoyed it very much. If you did, be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening now so you get updates for every episode in the future. If you really like to support us, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to episodes of this podcast a whole week early. That's right. If you want to hear Cassie's reaction to the season finale, you can get that now for as little as $1 over on patreon.com/whoismydoctor. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Danzel, Travis Aiken, and Julian Erlebacher. Next week, we finish Series 7, and Cassie finds out I didn't exactly show her all of the doctors in that little fashion show two-parter we did. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.